Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Last of Us podcast, episode 22. We, as you saw, maybe because you're watching them in sequence, we have the Last of Us community post show, after show, deep dive kind of vibe that we do. Lovely to meet you all, but we're just in the middle of something right now. I issued a challenge to these two of who can jump onto the next recording and the fastest, and guilt cam on Whitney, who didn't even wait for the countdown. She just left
spotlight.
I didn't know there was a countdown that was going to happen.
See, she is what I like to call, and I actually applaud it and I celebrate it, which is that when there are no rules, there are no rules. Don't wait around for there to be rules, Whitney.
No.
That's Whitney's way. The way of Whitney. This is the way of Whitney.
If she was wearing her Last of Us Part 2 shirt, it just embodied that there are no rules, endure and survive.
Yeah.
And that was the perfect example of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, well, folks, we're here. You're here. I'm here. Whitney's here. John's here. And we're here to talk about in depth. This is the deep dive of The Last of Us on HBO, episode 5. Endure and Survive. That shit's redundant, as Lamar said, which I really loved. Going off of where we're just literally going to continue what we were doing, and just the tradition with the endurance of with the deep dives is I make my way to the trivia, because the world has had a fair amount of time, because usually traditionally we do after shows right after and deep dives a week later, thanks to Whitney and John. And the beauty of this deep dive after show format, which came about because of the time zone difference, but now it's so great because we get to fully digest these episodes, right?
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Really is a fun time. So we've given our thoughts on the overall thoughts on the episode. But now as we go into, we dive deeper, and this, again, you can see it's just the greatest gift, and this is all free. So just do it. There's like behind the scenes stuff. There's posters. There's, you learn more. That's what the whole podcast should do. They should just increase your appreciation of the subject, whatever the subject happens to be. And today we're going to dive deep. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, 9.6, the highest rated character, the highest rated episode of the series so far. And let us dive in. So initially scheduled to be released on February 12th, but because of the Super Bowl, we all know about that. This is talking about Ish. We just watched inside the episode, so we're looking specifically for insights not covered by the inside the episode. So Adam Basil, with whom Barry Gower had worked on Game of Thrones and had the perfect build and girth and fitness for the bloater, a 40-kilogram suit coated in gel-like liquid during filming to appear and wet and reflective. The team wanted the creature to have a practical presence for interaction on set, which could later be emphasized with visual effects. We're going to pause here. Did you guys know that the bloater was practical effects at all? I didn't think so. I thought it was all CG.
I thought it was too at first.
You know, like that thing, and again, I could get with the stature and stuff, but like, and I just
in the, he moves so much like in the game too, and then it just, I was like, this has to be CG at first, but it's incredible.
Incredible. Here's the guy. Oh, I found him. So this is him. Absolutely incredible, right? Killing it. For sure. So let us continue diving in. Beautiful. All right. So this very extensive note continues. Molded in cast separate sections, top half, head, arms, and legs, little spine, spiky hair, punch into the body. Like all this stuff here is just hours and hours of work for something that, you know, yes, there was this interaction with, you know, and all those, a couple of episodes ago, we showed like Dean Egg, all the beautiful, amazing visual effects studios that like had a hand in creating this work. But yeah, it's condensed to such a small amount of time for the amount of work that goes into it, guys, like molding and modeling and everything. It's crazy. Yeah. Lamar Johnson, casting process occurred quickly. He sent his audition tape on Monday, received the role by Wednesday, and departed for the set by Saturday. Holy shit.
It's amazing.
On top of that, he learned ASL over the weekend.
It's nuts.
Like, that guy just...
The dedication.
Wow.
Like, it's incredible.
Trippy. Yeah.
Everyone involved in the show. It's just the dedication. It really shows when you watch it. There's such an appreciation for the show.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we're not just the Topic Network. We're the Loving on These People network as well. We seriously are. The Sniper's three-story building, again, I knew it rang a bell, but was modeled after Edward Hopper's painting House by the Railroad and the Bates residence from Psycho. The interior was aged 2 weeks with water, and Calgary's snow and ice added more water damage, which production designer John Painter appreciated. Yo! Okay, so what did you think, actually, the cul-de-sac, that whole thing? Because, again, it's sort of the false ending, isn't it, of the episode? Because it's not like easily another maybe show could have ended it there and started probably a bit sadistically started the next episode with the death of Sam and Henry. But what did you think of? Go Jamie.
Yeah, I was listening to the podcast for this episode as well, and at some point Craig was addressing the format that they were dealing with, because Neil was dealing with a game, and Craig and Neil together were putting this story into at an episodic format. So what Craig said was that there was a start and an ending, whereas in a game you could basically go, you can hold the controller for as long as you wanted to and then stop at any point. It's a very difficult decision to decide where to start and end an episode, because if it's not done well and you don't realize it's not done well, it can make a huge difference. So if I were to imagine episode 6 opening with the death of Henry and Sam, it would have a different effect compared to where it is, because you have so many more things happening after the story that it feels like it's going to bleed out and then need time to get back up on its feet story-wise and build up momentum into the next big moment. But like you said, it is a false ending. We thought that's it, we can let our walls down, we can wait for the credits to roll, and then boom, step on our hearts more.
Any riffs on that, Whitney?
I think in my mind I had some of the game playing in my head, just like what, because I knew what happened in the game. I was wondering what was going to happen next. And I jokingly was like, Joel got up there really fast. I remember getting up there to that house this fast when I played the game. But when he got in there, and there's, you know, you might have expected to see a younger man or like a hunter like you did in the game. And then you see this older man, and Joel is just like, don't do it. Because he didn't want to have to shoot. It hit really, really hard. Harder than it did in the game, for sure.
And he's just given up, like the shooter. He's just the old guy. He's probably seen lots of, Craig said this in the episode, like, he's seen a lot of you know.
That was really interesting to me that Craig had said that. Like, imagine everything that he has seen at his age being the end of the apocalypse. Because I think we talk a lot about Ellie and how hard it is to grow up in the apocalypse, but he actually lived for a while, and then he knew what it was like before, and now having to live in this cruel, cruel world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, as we talked about on the last one, like, part of you really wants to learn how that sniper got that way. He's in episode 5 of this series, but emotionally, that man is in season 8, episode 8 of his own series. That's the end for him. It's incredible. The writers understood the game sniper sequence would have translated poorly to television, chose to make the shooter an old man. Yep, sadness. Yes, I agree. And very effectively, too. The child clicker portrayed by young contortionist actress Sky Bell Cowton. Down the line, who knows how long, we'll get her on the show. It's going to happen. Believe it.
Yes.
Child, there we go. Yeah. Let's ask her about that day. Blah, blah, blah. For sure. The visual effects were combined to make the creature. Craig Mazin insisted Cowden wear a Blue's Clues shirt to contrast the innocence and horror. I didn't notice it was a Blue's Clues shirt.
It was, yeah.
Wow. The visual effects.
Job well done. Very horrifying.
So hard. That reminds me of the Meat Canyon Blue's Clues. Check that out if you don't know.
That's the animator guy.
It is. Pigtails showing more of her face, yes. 16 visual effects team worked on the action sequence, while the season averaged 250 visual effects shots per episode. This one had about 350 to 400. Yes, that's true. Shots, by the way, I believe they're frames. I think that's it, right?
Frames.
It's insane. So these things, by the way, they take ages to render, and they are usually done frame by frame. That's why a lot of these VFX movies take so long to do.
Yeah.
I think our ambition to portray visual effects has outpaced our current capacity to I think it's the same thing of the adoption of the internet. Like, we've adopted to the internet so fast, more than we can even than the practicality of what that even means can actually be fulfilled. Craig was talking about, there's a massive shortage right now in visual effects because of just how much is being asked for, but I think it was done very well here. So, director Jeremy Webb cited Saving Private Ryan. Yes, another freaking vibe I got as inspiration for some of the shots during the battle sequence, particularly from Joel's perspective. Oh my God, the sniper scene! Duh.
Yeah.
Right. Oh wow! How did Spielberg. I not? Wow.
Spielberg, wow. Jurassic, Spielberg, Saving Private Ryan. It's all connected. I'm telling it's crazy. You. That's trippy. Yeah, camera with a sniper scope was used for Joel. Three handheld cameras were used to track the action. Do you guys feel, again, just going to pause because I've got them right here with me right now. Do you feel that moving through information like this is kind of the vibe of TPN? Like, that's kind of what this thing's about. It's like dedicating time, whether it's you're on the shows or as a patron, to actually pass through and properly chew the material. I know I've probably said it before. Yeah. But I feel like going after this, because of we have this context of the Topic Network and these shows, we will go forward now more informed. Like, Johnny and Whitney, both of you, you will be saying, hey, by the way, that one episode, it's Saving Private Ryan right there. Because we actually spent the time to go together and dive in.
Yeah.
So that's the vibe, people. Brought it up. Here we go. The Topic Network. It's right there on the screen. If you're listening to the audio version, I've just brought up our discussing everything together little splash graphic here. I'm going to read their names. Whitney, our numero uno. Everyone's a numero uno, by the way. Franco, our second numero uno. John, our third numero uno. Andy, Andrew, Julia, Mark, Robin, and Douglas are all so wonderful and are actually family to me. You guys are legitimate family. Family Cam. Yeah. Family Cam.
Family Cam.
Actual brother right here. And the love is real. And we're still only in Feb of this year, guys. But let me tell you right now, as we go along, especially ramping up to the Junes and the Julys, it's gonna be too much fun than we can handle. Hanging out, talking about E3, talking about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talking about Comic-Con, those trailers. Little admin break, because again, we don't do ads, but we do admin. we put the admin in ads, whatever. John.
Yes.
And Whitney. Do you think for our big old show, whatever we'll do for Comic-Con, we'll shove it, again, you guys can help me determine which basket, which podcast-shaped basket certain things go into. I'm thinking the film podcast for because it's mostly film stuff nowadays with Comic-Con, even though it's got comic in the name. And I figured we would just do a gigantic back-to-back trailer discussion episode where we just put all the Comic-Con trailers together. I just react and we just bring them up the same way we've been bringing up the inside the episodes, and we just talk about each trailer one after another.
Yeah.
That sounds a great idea.
Fantastic.
See? Well, I love that. And three things happened just now. First, that's content, because then people watching this are enjoying maybe the idea of, oh my God, Comic-Con later. Number two, this is legitimate admin planning that I'm doing with these guys live on air right now. So now we know we're doing that. And three, just hype. Why not get hyped?
But all the hype.
All the hype.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Whitney. Okay. I love it. Craig compared the infected emerging from the ground. I love this. The ant colony, the goblins.
From Lord of the Rings.
Huge. Yeah. You want an interesting Albert's? And when I get a soundboard or people can drop sound bites, this is where they would drop the crazy conspiracy theory music for Albert. So, John, I want you to guess at what I'm about to bring up right now. All right. Just have a guess. It could be random. Considering we were just talking about the Lord of the Rings, what do you think I'm bringing up?
Thumbnail, Mines of Moria, goblins coming out of the ceiling.
Good guess, Ellie. What do you think I'm bringing up?
I'm just Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Fellowship of the Ring.
That's fine. This is Melanie Lynskey in Peter Jackson's Heavenly Creatures.
Oh my god, snap.
That's right. Before
she is amazing.
She's incredible. And I am vibing all these amazing connections. Both also. Yes. The Last of Us and the Lord of the Rings. Not just fellow the L things, but and the L of things. That's what they share that. But on the 2nd of November of September last year, both of them had something coming out. Yeah, it was, yes, The Last of Us Part 1 also came out on the same day as, the Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. So there's a weird kind of orbiting of each other, this sort of tangoing, The Lord of the Rings and The Last of Us. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Okay, I won't do tango music. Let's go back to the review. That's cool. So, do you like my tangent? Actually, let's do a live. This is the sort of thing I do on Patreon. I'm like, do you guys like my tangents or do you think they're distracting? What do you like?
I want to add to them.
Love them.
You love them? I love you guys.
More.
Yeah, we love you too.
tangents for everybody. A tangent for you. A tangent for everybody. The Tangent Taking Network. All right.
Yes.
So the love is real for Lord of the Rings and The Last of Us. So co-creators Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann wrote and directed, wrote and co-directed the video game, found different perspectives from the television series, granted an opportunity to explore the backstory of Kansas City. Fascinating, but I think we knew that one. We're looking at, Blue's Clues. Yeah, we know about that. There you go. Bella Ramsey felt that Sam brought out Ellie's childlike energy, which she largely attributed to Kayvon Montreal Woodard. I love it. He has the middle name Montreal, but just for this, I think it was like a guild thing or whatever. They just like his name is, Kayvon Woodard, but it's weird that they added a Montreal because they were filming in Montreal. I don't know. Actor in the post show can maybe email John. Find his email. Yeah. Tell him.
The insider scoop.
And then he can tell me. 60 actors used in the infected mob, 10 to 15 wore clicker masks, 70 crafted by prosthetic artists. Again, I cannot stress how long, hand punching all of those weird freaking hairs and like fungi bits, and they just did that for like 5 seconds of footage. What is that? Let's have a mini round table about that. Guys, musician, actually, John, you'll understand. Artists, it is something where there is a massive outweighing of effort towards product, right? And yet it's just so fulfilling that just gets, it just gets overlooked. Like, that's why people put this much into the art that they make, you know? So,
yeah. Unsung heroes. Yes, are the words that I always keep in mind. It's a journey in itself as far as the growth of an artist to be able to come to terms. Like, at some point it'll feel like diminishing returns because, you know, like, for example, for musicians, you have sound studios, sound equipment, logistics, this laundry list of things that you would need to put together for something that overall would last maybe 4, 5, 6, however few minutes. And the amount of time that goes behind that is exponential. So there's that understanding between the relationship of the sheer commitment to what goes on with being a creator and being creative, because it's in a way, that's what the difference is between artists and any other line of work, where sometimes the creation process and the results in the products are almost proportionate in, in the size. So
disproportionate for art, you're right.
Yeah, it's disproportionate, exactly. And like, there's also discord and dissonance with each of those processes. So it speaks a lot. And like, when you hear things about how long these guys, these stuntmen, these actors are sitting in chairs to have all of this stuff being put on them, and only for them to be moving in front of a camera for a few seconds, well, a little bit longer while they're filming, but the final product is the main thing that people see, which is why I appreciate like all these insiders, like inside the episodes, behind the scenes. Yeah. I watch a lot of making of documentaries in my spare time. The one about Grounded, the making of documentary for The Last of Us Part 1 in 2013 is still something I go back to, because it just sheds so much light on what goes on behind it.
Beautifully put. Thank you. Thank you, John. And Whitney, did you have any riffs on that?
Yeah. That was beautifully put. I am not an artist, but from a fan perspective, being able to really appreciate that final product, you can really see how much time went into wanting to get it right. And as a fan, I just have so much appreciation from everyone involved in this wonderful, wonderful TV show. And I just want to know where their Emmy is.
Yeah,
their Emmy Award is.
We are all beginning that campaign. It's starting here.
I will also say it's not entirely true that Whitney's not an artist, because her edits.
Okay. Finally, it comes out.
On
Images. The
talent on Instagram are a thing to behold, and I can vouch for it very much so.
Oh, yeah. And you do have is it a virtual photography thing that you do? Is that
I do? I do edits of my favorite games, like screenshots on my other account.
Where's the other account? What is it?
It's Joel Miller's Coffee.
Yes, that's right. Joel Miller's Coffee. Joel Miller's.
I'm already waiting for a Joel Miller's Coffee and Twin Peaks Cafe collaboration.
Yes.
Yep, we talked about that. Yep, that's going to be fun. Yeah. I am now following you on the Last of Us podcast Instagram. And that's another thing, as I think maybe we'll do an impromptu. But before that, I'll just read out. My name is my name. Your name is this amazing person who chimed in during our The Carnival Row podcast, episode 1, which covered, discussing like the first 2 episodes of the season 2. And chimes in, says, I wish the Deaf Sam change that they made it so that Sam got bit by a clicker because they didn't hear it. So interesting opportunity that would have been there. I think it's mentioned on the show, on the podcast, actually. Craig talked about, or rather Troy, he started getting choked up. He's like, because he's deaf, he couldn't hear Ellie. You know, he just sort of woke up as a clicker, or just turned into one and just sort of sat there, which kind of charged the whole scene with a bit of like tension and lethality, which is that at any point he could have just turned to her, but because he's deaf, maybe the cordyceps doesn't really react, and like is actually very reliant, as you can see later with the clickers, like there's this reliance on hearing, because it's the next evolutionary stage. But so maybe it was a small mercy for Ellie that that Sam was deaf, because it meant that she survived. So it's kind of one thing he gave her. Or
I think that's a very interesting depiction of how complex this fungus is in the show, because as Tess already pointed out in episode 2 all the way back, how they can link giant hordes of infected from miles away, which is an addition in the show that wasn't in the game. Me and Whitney were also like riffing at some point of like, what if they reverse engineered that and put that into the game, if there was ever going to be a part 3? you know, and this relationship between show and game, just reinforcing each other. But also, I can't remember where it was mentioned in which inside the episode, but either Craig or Neil did say how this mutated fungus also had the ability to restore some sort of function to
that's right to the old bodies.
Lady. Yeah, because yep. like you could hear bones breaking when she got out onto the foyer, but then mm-hmm. she immediately got back up as if like nothing happened. So like motor functions get restored, but the way at the very core of, I'm not an expert on fungi, obviously I'm not a mycologist, mm-hmm. but their cellular structure can't affect nerves as much as it can with like physical muscle and bone. So Sam's deafness, it's not like it could get cured or reversed by the fungus. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It did was just reinforced him physically. So, but like the fact that resonated with Troy, because the way he put it so beautifully in the podcast was, Sam in a way is still in there, because we know,
and that's what's trippy about it. Yeah,
yeah. We find out that he's still deaf, even though he's already become a runner.
See, John, that's one of the really upsetting things I was trying to like postpone talking about because
I'm like,
how heavy that is.
Yeah, we got to go there, because if we don't, we're going to run out of time and we got to squeeze it too much. And my heart's already squeezed too much, so I got to let it out.
This unpleasant but necessary squeezing. That's also
the top
of the work is
necessary squeezing.
In the best way. Necessary squeezing. Good t-shirt. So I have a t-shirt. Necessary squeezing. So this is all Whitney's amazing in-game captures over on Joel Miller's Coffee. Yes. Please go over there. Let's get it a 500, 600, 700. Let's do that.
700.
Too kind.
What you'll see, folks, is that because I'm just sort of always jumping between the networks, is we'll go solo cams on each of you. How many The Topic Network accounts have you been followed by, Whitney? Like 50 or something, right? I've only gotten to 50, but there are 600. So
eventually... I actually went through your list one day.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I was like,
you crazy lady.
There's so many good shows.
Aw, well, I'm very glad. Let's kind of give a preview of what Whitney was mentioning that she did. But John, similar to Whitney, have you found yourself? Maybe there was a couple of people started following you. What's that?
I did notice my follower list jumped by at least 30.
Yeah.
In the last while. And I'm still not done going through the list either. Like, there's that little band of recommended pages on Instagram. It's slowly but surely being filled by all of the pages followed by TPN. So I'm still going through it, and that list is bound to jump even more. I'm very glad to hear it.
Very, very glad to hear it. So here you can see. And yeah, you might be like, why? What the hell could there be to discuss on the Skrillex podcast? Well, let me tell you, he's got a new album coming out very soon. And they have so fucking many tour stories. You may find eventually a lot of these music podcasts, like, it's not actually talking about the music. It's so much about the things behind the scenes that you're like, actually, now I know the story behind that recording. Makes it that much more emotional, you know? So Always Sunny, Baldur's Gate, Fraggle Rock, astrology. Then you just have like the general subject matter stuff there. Speaking of dinosaurs with hats, Dinosaur Jr. Look, have fun. Head over to their Instagram. Pick up a shirt. Feel free to. And I think that'll be fun. That's the Dune one. That's the Avatar one I designed myself. Order 1886, that one has arrived. And that's Carnival Row as well.
Do we have a Last of Us one?
It's coming. And believe you me, it's going to be
I'm a ready.
I'm ready as well. So,
and the necessary squeezing one.
Necessary squeezing, indeed. Indeed. Thank you so much. And I honestly think once you perform those squeezes of like the heart, and then we're also going through the squeezing of like wringing all the nutrients out of each of these episodes. So there's the Topic Network, the best kind of squeezing. All right.
Can I add something?
Yes.
I know we were talking about Sam's when he was about to turn into.
Yeah.
runner. But I was thinking of how Ellie must have been feeling. I couldn't help but really feel for her in that scene, because she really thought that her blood was going to fix Sam. It's so heartbreaking. She wanted so badly to be the cure for him. And then when he when he, you know, woke up the next day and it didn't work, I can only imagine how she was feeling, the heaviness of not being able to save him.
Yeah, I mean, that's speechlessness inducing. Yeah.
Yeah. It ties into how strong these two, like Sam and Ellie's bond to the comic book series is. Mm-hmm. Like when we see them bond in that scene where even Ellie is learning the sign for Endure and Survive. Mm-hmm. And we find out through the behind the scenes too that not just Lamar, but the rest of the cast, or a lot of the cast at least, learned ASL along with them, just for the sake of having that stronger connection with Kevon. But the fact that Ellie is using her connection with the comic book series, that she wants to be the hero, and the fact that she's already going off of what Marlene told her in the first episode, which has only been revealed to Joel and Tess, of her immunity, that she's already carrying this weight with her, this need to see whether she could turn this uniqueness that she has and be able to apply it somehow. And this is the first chance that we see of her harnessing and manifesting her need to be a hero for somebody.
Yeah,
very much so. Go ahead, Whitney.
I was just thinking too, I'm thinking a little bit ahead to like where we know what happens towards the end of the season.
Sure. No, absolutely. And
I just I think this being something that sets in motion wanting to be that cure for all of humankind, because she's like, I'm immune, so I need to be able to save anyone at any cost.
And she would have, that's the thing, what pisses her off is she, if the Fireflies, anyway, she, it's very clear.
I know, that, I have a lot of feelings about that, but.
you know.
Yeah.
She would have wanted to, yeah, I guess you could say, you know, ensure the human race endured and survived. Like that's what she would have made that choice, you know. So
we need a deeper dive episode for this stuff.
We believe it. There's going to be a deeper dive and then deepest dive.
Deepest dive. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Good. Cause I have a lot of feelings and thoughts.
Me too. I think that Min-Max they've claimed deepest dive as a thing, but it's a general, not non-copyrightable, but I think deeperest.
Yeah.
Mostest deepest. We're going to call it the
mostest deepest dive. Yeah.
Deeper-est.
Deeper-est to the grave. Sorry.
There we go.
Starring Jet Li. The whole, we're going to
bring. You know what, though? I would really need Craig and Neil to come on the show so I can ask them if they will pay for my therapy bills.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think make sure to have that question chambered in for when they're on the show.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could. I might cry a lot. You'll be fine.
I think it'll happen. So just someone can make an edit of Deeperest to the Grave. Deep dive for the TPN if you want to just do that. All right, thanks.
Yes,
I had to be done. I think Jet Li should be in season 2 of The Last of Us. I'm serious. I think Donnie Yen and Jet Li could randomly show up in these things and I'd be like, yep, I accept it. That would be amazing.
I mean, like, he could play a character that's somehow related to Eleven Yara.
Yes. Oh my god. Surprise characters from my favorite faction. So much that they were on the artwork of the podcast for a while. The scars. Oh my god, you guys, you're not ready. Not ready. So Savage Starlight is an in-universe comic book character that both Ellie and Sam love. In 2186, Dr. Daniela Starr discovers the ability to travel faster than the speed of light, leading to many of her space adventures as Savage Starlight. In The Last of Us Part 1, the Savage Starlight comic books are collectibles that players would have had to search for in the Pittsburgh chapter, where we're introduced to Sam and Henry. In both the series and the video game, Ellie and Sam bond over their love of the fictional hero and take to heart her motto, endurance, survive. So I love that, and it is heartbreaking. Yes. Because it's, yeah, and there was that dig made against, you know, Craig said this in the official podcast, yeah, like the endurance survived the redundantness, like, you know, to just take things down a few pegs or whatever. I love that he has that notion, because it is true. It's endure and survive both mean the same thing, but it's also to infinity and beyond is, yeah. That's kind of what it evokes, you know, and those, that statement by Buzz Lightyear kind of is pointless. It doesn't really mean anything. It's you can't go beyond infinity anyway. So in the tunnel shelter, Joel finds the same drawing of Danny and Ish that can be found in the sewers in the game. While waiting for nightfall, there, Ellie and Sam also play soccer like in the game. So again, for people who don't know, that's how close that they skewed, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Additively, again, non as a fan servicey thing, like it actually added to the episode. Craig Mazin felt Sam's leukemia was a more significant part of the story than his deafness. And let's have a look. In contrast to the chaotic action, there are intimate moments in the episode that cinematographers are in a massive deficit. They're like, they're emaciated with how much praise they should be getting. So let's fatten them up. Let's make every cinematographer fat with love for them.
Plump with praise.
Plump with praise. Plump with praise, Cam. Here we go. Thank you, John. Plump with praise is now a amazing phrase, which is now the phrase of the episode. Thank you. Just wish I could. Again, we'll get there. When I get the setup, we're going to have sound bites. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I can't wait.
He says, they say, me too. Me neither. There is no electricity, and I wanted to embrace the idea of a campfire, particularly for the two kids. We couldn't physically have that, so I went for this nice warm oil lamp sitting between them. It was the single piece of lighting that nicely backlit them and made it feel intimate. And later on it says, it's just a way of knowing what we want in the future and then figuring out a story reason to be able to justify getting there. All those little production notes, those little things that, you know, people like production hands and production assistants and the tiny little things that make these shows as good as they are, you know.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay, so yeah, while the original Last of Us game uses the clicker name regularly, HBO's adaptation has never actually referred to them by that moniker. The Last of Us episode 5, however, changes this. In the scene in which Henry, Joel, and Ellie are coming up with a plan to escape Kansas City, Ellie mentions they encounter in The Last of Us episode 2, referring to the clickers, the same way that she did earlier in the episode. Henry then replies, wait, you ran into a clicker. So there we go. First usage of the show. Agnes, I don't want to talk about you because you're too heartbreaking, because I love you too much. So you just, I can't. Just give me a few years of recovery, and then maybe I can.
Please.
We love you, but wait.
But love you, but wait.
Yeah,
there are lots of stuff.
Can we talk about Kathleen?
We can. And let's bring up a photo of her. Yes.
She, I was so intrigued with her character because I was like, why is she just so angry, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think once we get the story, it's like, I kind of had the same feeling as like a Last of Us 2 type of theme. Like, you made a choice and that killed someone that I care about. So I'm going to.
Oh, it's an Abby preview.
It really is. Yeah. And it makes me excited too, because Last of Us 2 is a very special story for me. And it's so close to my heart that. Yeah. I know it's going to break me into all kinds of itty bitty pieces, but I'm also really excited to see where that will go and what they can do with it.
Very beautifully expressed, for sure. No, Kathleen is the thing about this two episode character with her brother and all this extended mythos, which now I'm sure people are wondering, and there's probably going to be, you know, fiction written about it, of the Jesus brother and how we never really even see this person, but the brother. There was so much trust placed on the audience, not just recognizing, hey, you know, there's not this nothing. This is no basis in the game. This is, we're actually asking you point blank, hey, believe in this character, be invested in this character, be intrigued, and then we're going to let her go in two episodes. It is a risk to have added that, but boy, did it pay off. I'm serious. Like, it's such the whole show. Yeah, go ahead, Whitney.
No, I'm sorry. And the way she died, it's like,
yeah,
you know, she was so thirsty for vengeance that it ultimately is what killed her.
You know, this thing of the, it's the thing they mentioned about, like, her saying that, oh, you know, sometimes children are meant to die or whatever. She says that, and then that's connected with, all right, take it easy. My name is my name, your name, the greatest username ever. Take it easy, mate. There's a third layer to me, which is that she's stuck, not just in her voice, which is so childlike. She's stuck in this bond that she had with her brother of, you know, the wooden box and stuff. So her being killed by the child is, you can extrapolate that in some big, deep academic, you know, analysis. At some point, someone might even, who knows, even off of this podcast, if I'm highlighting that, feel free to reference or whatever, but it's like, that can happen in this life. No clickers or anything. If we let that, you know, being, she's locked herself in that room. She's prevented growing. And that's the thing, is this clicker, obviously because of becoming infected, you know, as a child, like, she also can't grow like that kid. The whole subtextual thing here is like, it'll kill you if you don't grow. It'll kill you if you don't get over things. Mm. And it'll kill you in the face of the thing that you're avoiding.
Mm-hmm.
And in the face of the thing that you're trapping yourself to. So by being, I mean, she's basically being, she's treating the entire city of Kansas City as her plaything. And she's being so immature. That's why the voice fits so well, because she's very kiddie. She's very like, give me that, I want my toy. And she's chasing after Henry like a child chases around the playground trying to grab the toy back from the other kid. There's no adult thought there. There's no adult consideration of like, actually, I have a responsibility. There's an infected underneath the city. I need to be doing something else. I can't just spend the entire resources of the militia or whatever on finding Henry and Sam. So she was killed so poetically. Like, so much more than just that thing of her saying some children are meant to die. It's like, well, take a look at yourself. Maybe you should bury some of that, and like, as in deal with it, not bury it. Like, but she didn't. She let herself be, you know, killed by the demon. She let herself. Yeah, go ahead, John.
To add a bit more of an IRL aspect to that, the fact that that's so likely, even without the notion of a pandemic of a fungus going, mutating and affecting the entire world. Also, just to reference how personal these podcasts can go, because I know there is a sort of a space there to to be able to connect all of that. I don't know if you guys know much about Hikikomori syndrome.
No,
or if you've heard of that at all. It's a syndrome that's very common in the Far East, in Japan, I think more notably, I've seen some examples of it. It's a work-related syndrome where almost every aspect of everyday life and lifestyles become closed off.
Mm.
And speaking to how Kathleen built her world around this toy box of Kansas City in the QZ, I'm also mentioning it because I had a very long string of having this syndrome.
No worries.
We're talking at least maybe 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And the main parties affected were my parents, but it was also, I can confirm that it's very introspective. It focuses on very specific lines of thought that don't even draw any sort of lines to adult lines of thinking. You're building almost your own universe. So like things like I was even living in my room for many, many days, weeks at a time, coming out only for bathroom breaks and waiting for my parents to go to sleep before going to the kitchen to, you know, get food, things like that. Like it's this actual toy box where you're playing around with your own life that can easily be, you know, judged and criticized by almost anybody. And it's like you said, like you need to look into yourself the way Kathleen didn't do very much of, because she was so set
very much so
on this specific goal, like I was, with just focusing on my own life. That's why I related to Kathleen in so many levels. And it takes a universe like this to be able to establish a relationship like that with a character in the matter of just a couple episodes before killing them off.
And we hold space for that, man.
Thank you for sharing that, John.
Yeah, for sure. Big hugs. And
thank you, guys. Yeah,
for sure. And I'm so glad that you've you saw your way through, you know, to developing that dialogue with yourself, which is the key, really, is that recognition of where you're at and that you found your way to us and to yourself, most importantly.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad, because you're such a gift to this form of being out into the world. You know, not again, I'm a massive introvert, but this is our lens into adding our little commentary to the world and stepping out and interacting with others, and you're so adept at it. So I'm so glad you found your way through that, buddy. So
yeah, man, it's an absolute pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
The love,
all the hearts,
for sure. You actually, to build on your point, man, these two, look at them, they're kids, but they're more adult than Kathleen. Kathleen is the toxic kind of opposite of these kids, who they're in this heavy world, but they can let go. They've moved on. They're able to have a momentum about themselves. But and the way they dressed her, she looks, there's, you know, it just looks like a big, like over the oversized jacket. Like she, it's the evocation of like, this is a baby. Like this is a child.
Yeah.
She wears whatever she wants.
Exactly. Of Melanie is extremely, extremely well done. So
it's so interesting. Like,
yeah,
I think too, Kathleen presented to me like a lesson, just because in my personal life I've gone through a lot of stuff and I could easily turn into someone like Kathleen, like holding on to that anger. So just like a reminder to me to let go, and there's nothing on that's nothing good is going to come out of holding on to anger.
Thank you, and I'm very glad you even toned that, and it's something I myself you know, and again, that's another thing Topic Network is about. It's a safe space, genuinely, for this kind of talk, because it is all woven in, and storytelling and entertainment and art have a role in moving through tough times. You know, I was just just before this doing some prep, I think Resistance broadcast, they had a fan chime in who like listened to their podcast while she was in labor. So there ought to be no dividing lines between, like, even within an episode itself, to like go into this stuff. So, and again, just like as we said to John, I'm very, very glad you moved through that, and that, you know, and yeah, so lots of hugs to you there.
Yeah, lots of hugs.
And I see you actually here doing what you're doing with your Joel's Miller's watch and everything going on in Whitney's world as a wonderful testament to that continuous evolution and maintaining of that dialogue with yourself. Because the Kathleen's are the cautionary tales of now, and you're the opposite. You're the this is how to do it kind of tale. So.
Yeah.
That's it. Love. All right. We can't just chortle and sing for the rest of this episode. We have 8 more minutes. 8 more minutes.
For some reason, that just made me think of a Last of Us musical.
Oh, yeah.
would love that.
Folks, we need to get that happening.
Please. Please.
I need tickets.
Please do it. you will hear from it first. You're gonna little divergence, why not? Again, no ads, just admin. Speaking of musicals for things, the Matrix musical is going, it's called Free Your Mind, and it is right in October. And this is a massive year for the Matrix because it is the 20th anniversary of like five Matrix things, starting with the Matrix Reloaded.
It's so old.
And no, it's cool because we are eternal. But remember,
yes,
especially on this recording right now, you will look exactly the same 500 years from now on this recording. We're literally in the middle of infinity-fying ourselves. But yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Over to the Matrix podcast. Come and join. We're sort of on the same kind of trajectory as the Last of Us podcast. And massive, massive, massive year. So there you go, folks. No ads, just admin. Enter the Matrix on the May 14th. The Matrix Reloaded. The Animatrix, Free Your Mind. All of it's being giant celebrations this year. So see your way over to that. And yes, so a little teaser of what the musical might look like. Look at these guys in October. Right, and it's, you might be like, oh, Matrix musical, yes, it's going to be fantastic. I don't know how you would do Last of Us musical though, with the clickers dancing and stuff. I don't know.
Clickers doing the robot.
Clickers doing click clack kind of tap dancing.
Yeah.
I guess
that can work.
We can work on that. All right, back we go. So admin's finished. I love you guys.
We love you.
All right. So Lamar played the game. Johnson felt Henry was hurt by his own actions against Michael, but Sam was ultimately more important to him. Mason and Druckmann had several long discussions regarding Henry's fate and considered many alternatives, but ultimately considered a suicide. So this, again, John, you'll remember, or Whitney, if you've seen it, heard it too, you know, Troy's, the official, podcast, like, talked about a potential, they're like, they'll be so angry knowing that we considered other things, like,
yeah. But,
and I'm assuming, because he's being so cagey, I'm assuming that other thing was Henry surviving and Henry and Sam maybe spinning off and going somewhere else but not dying. But no, mm-hmm. I think it was very effective. Yeah, for sure. But give us the spinoff, please. And
yeah,
I think that'll be rad. First appearance of a bloater on the show. That's all this kind of detailed kind of like taking note of. These violent delights have violent ends. Yes, this was something he mentioned on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie Linsky isn't sad to have been killed off so quickly because she's still in awe of the scale of the production for this big infected bonanza, which included hundreds of people, including other circus performers. I've never been so astounded in my life at what I saw around me. They built that cul-de-sac, set it next to a studio. It's huge. Da, 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 da. You could have done a close-up on anything. It would have been absolutely perfect. Again, they just did it. And I love that. We're going to, at some point, end up on one of these sets and we get to finally riff about, like, oh my God, like, the detail. My goal is to get you guys on a Star Wars set one day. Like, dude. We'll all go as, like, some big, like, oh,
please.
Perfect Network has been invited. Oh, there's, like, a guest allocation. And it's like, well, obviously, the founding members of TPN have to come. So,
TPN live and on site.
Yeah.
With microphones.
Indeed. Oh, she recorded her death sounds as automated dialogue replacement. Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann directed her to sound like someone was ripping your throat out. Heavy. So imagine going into his thing of like tunnels, like written on his like little pad there. Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loved it. Really intense. But yeah, we have come to the end of our little trivia here, even though there's many more. And guess what? There is going to be a deeper dive. Well, I have to get going. I've got a Zelda podcast in 2 seconds. But let me tell you.
Yeah, you do.
I love you guys.
We love you.
We love you, man.
This has been the best.
Giant hugs. I always get so much more out of everything. Not just the human race being alive, existence, but yes, these shows, sure. The secret thing about TPN is it's a Trojan horse. You think you're signing up for something to do without storytelling entertainment, but it's actually just hanging out and having lovely humanity-affirming times as we just had on the show. And thank you so much for feeling that safe space. And that's what Topic Network is, absolutely a safe space. And me as like your pal, like I'm always, it's important for me to be considered like that safe space for discussion like that. So love you.
And We love you. Appreciate you for being such a lovely, yep. wonderful person.
Oh, yes, make sure you join TPN Patreon.
Please show some love. Join. Join the family.
You had it coming, Albert. You know what's coming.
Let me say this. When you say stuff like that, it makes me immediately just want to bring up your stuff, which I love. And so now, I mean, I have to go, but super, super duper quickly. Listen, you want to go Jamsy? Gotcha. You
want to go
Windmill Road, right there, boom.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna go Yoga Peace of Mind. That's all I'm going to say. But I will say, and I have to be raised, like, be less self-effacing. Like, when people say nice things, take it. It's like, okay, but as long as I'm allowed to reflect it back and say, hey, when you jump on, not just friends, not just vibing, it is something where you can have this thing of like, oh man, it's such a rough week. Oh, at least at the end, I get to hang out, or that'll be something to look forward to. So gotta go. Well, are you guys coming to Hyrule with me? Do you want to do that or what's up?
Oh no, it's already 3 a.m. for me, man.
It's already 3 a.m. Okay, big hugs.
Yeah. Yep.
I love you guys.
Big love hugs. You.
See you on the next one and enjoy the episode. Sure. Sure. Take it easy.
Absolutely.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.